to the block till I
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Henry Rain Show, the second half of the Financial Power Hour, and a half these days on Mondays. But starting at 4:05, talking markets with Mark and Andrew, all things markets, Forex, cryptocurrency, stocks, bonds even, anything you can trade. And it's all brought to you by GreenBridgeInvesting.com. Check that out. But you follow it up here at 5:05-ish. With Henry Rain Show, your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Well, Bitcoin fell below 9,500 for the first time in almost 2 weeks. Like, that's like forever.
That's like forever.
Yes. But that's nothing compared to this that broke right before the show. Crypto exchange Fcoin. That's right, the effing coin has just announced that between 7,000 and 13,000 Bitcoin can't be recovered. But don't worry, they weren't hacked. That'll make you feel good about your 13,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And Coinbase brings back margin trading. And another week and another lawsuit threat from Craig Wright, plus much, much more. We'll get to all that in just a second. Well, hanging around, of course, is Andrew of Talking Markets, Andy of the Henry Rain Show, in another life.
Goldbug One.
Yeah. And he's here, and we're going to go over a few different things here. I a little bit of business to clean up or talk about. It's not really business, but I do want to give people a heads up right up the front of the show that Josh Sands, Crypto Tax Man, will be here next week.
In studio?
Well, no, not in studio. Oh, okay. He can come in if he wants. But one way or another, he's going to be talking to us. But he's going to be talking to us, of course, keeping confidentiality, about some communication that went on between the IRS and one of his clients about cryptocurrency and tax matters.
Oh, no.
And I have a personal time scheduled with him tomorrow. Of course, before, back in late November, early December-ish, he helped me walk through his software, and I got a preview of what I was going to have to report on my income tax for 2019. He's going to spend a little time on the phone with me tomorrow, and then I'm going to, you know, send my taxes off and reports off and all that kind of stuff. But that's cryptotaxman.us. Or you can find Crypto Tax Man on Facebook, facebook.com/CryptoTaxMan, Twitter, crypto_tax_man, same thing on Instagram. But if you haven't started yet, you really need to start getting serious about this stuff, because the IRS is getting serious about taxing your cryptocurrency. Although there was a story this week, and we'll talk about that with them next week, that when they were, I don't know if it was a congressperson or senator or somebody that was questioning them, and they said, is the guidance definite? And Liz, it's okay, I can get your mic turned on. Andrew is juggling multiple communication sources at the moment, but your mic's back on now. And he said, you know, is that advice that you put out, you know, all about the airdrops and different, is that official? And they're like, well, it's not really official until it's printed on a whatchamacallit IRS thing. So it's sort of the level before official. So we'll sort through that next week. But CryptoTaxMan.us, find out how you can get help from him, because you're going to need it this year. All right. What else is going on? We have beating up Bitcoin, meeting up at the library. We're going to probably have one in March. Right? And anything else going on with you? What's happening with GreenBridgeInvesting.com?
We've been trimming off a little bit into this rally, some altcoins especially, and then we trimmed a little bit Bitcoin off on Sunday morning. We decided we were just going to take a little bit off the table here. and we're just kind of waiting for this little pullback to unravel.
That would have made it a higher price than it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. It was
that would have been a good move.
Yeah, yeah.
Good move on the alts too.
Yeah. The alts just, you know, we have been telling people for months now, when we get a good rally in the alts, we are going to trim out, reduce our exposure, just to put it back into Bitcoin on a dip. Because, you know, if you even look at Ethereum, it's still down 80 or 90% off its high. And that's, that relative weakness. I mean, and you're seeing that across the alt market.
Okay.
Where Bitcoin's, you know, holding up. So I like Bitcoin.
All right, let's put it all in perspective.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, Bitcoin fell below $9,500 for the first time in almost 2 weeks on February 17th, as in today, as downward pressure continued to pressure markets. The shift lower followed a four-day slide for Bitcoin, which had topped out at $10,500 before seeing considerable resistance kick in. Some traders appeared worried, as evidenced by a single deposit onto derivatives giant BitMEX, which totaled 600 Bitcoin. 600 Bitcoin. Come on, that's nothing.
Is that it?
Yeah, no, I think that. I actually saw another one. It was like 9 million. It was just a different, being put on a regular exchange. I'm like, come on now. When the whales wag their tail, a lot more Bitcoin goes popping around than that. So I don't think that was it. I think. What do you think? Just time, right?
Yeah, it was just time for a pullback. A lot of resistance up here, so.
Weekly losses totaled around 3.5% on the day, but monthly performance is still up 7%, and year-to-date is up 40%. So what are you complaining about? Anyway.
I know. Everyone gets on, it's pulling back.
I was panicking.
Why were you panicking?
About what I was telling you off the air, about why I could hear someone coming to me saying, I need some money. And I was like, well, I don't want to take it out of this stuff. It's really working well for me. I haven't had to take it out of anything.
Yeah.
But if it was going to come out of something, it was going to come out of that account. And I didn't want that account to be a little hungry.
Yeah.
All right. All that is behind the scenes of the Henry Rain Show.
A lot goes on.
But also in front of the scene of the Henry Rain Show is this story that just came in, I guess, about an hour and a half now.
How did they lose this?
And, you know, I got a heads up on this, not directly, but I saw a former crypto tax or financial woman. What did we used to call Kara Haas? Blockchain accountant.
Yes.
Is what we called her. Just smart. Really smart. Kara Haas. And I think she's blogging again, so you might be able to Google her name and come up with some of this stuff. But anyway, I saw
the 5x9 is her Twitter.
I saw her tweet about Fcoin and about their word salad, which is I thought was an interesting thing to say. And then I saw the story, and I understand why they were tossing a lot of word salad out there before they wind up in prison getting their salad tossed. A big announcement by Fcoin is rocking the crypto world. Although the price hasn't rocked that much in the last hour and a half. But
should go up more or less than in America.
Crypto exchange Fcoin has just, and this is the thing that, like, they were going to mine it with transactions, were going to mine the coin, and you were going to be getting some effing coin back out of it all.
And the Fcoin
like
is now effed.
Yeah. It's got a big F.
Yeah.
On the coin.
People that are on there going,
has just announced between 7,000 and 13,000 Bitcoin. Now, we're going to round to 10,000, even though Bitcoin is below 10,000 now, but that would be four more zeros on there. So that's somewhere between 70 and 130 million Bitcoin.
Vaporized.
They're not even saying missing. They're saying cannot be recovered.
How can you not recover it? Just lost the...
I don't know, but it's a China-based cryptocurrency exchange We've already talked about how it's legal to own cryptocurrency in China, but you're not supposed to trade it. So how can you have an exchange? I mean, it's bad enough I couldn't even sell it to you.
The coronavirus has hit.
Anyway, the exchange says that the problem is neither a hack, that's a relief, or an internal volume overrun, which I have no idea what an internal... I would love to have a Bitcoin overrun in my internal volume, but it sounds like a good thing, actually. Rather, it is a data error and a decision error.
Don't hit the red button. Don't hit the... you hit the red button.
A data error and a decision error. Well...
Yeah, I don't believe it.
It was a bad decision to steal it.
Yeah.
And it was a data error to leave the evidence.
Yeah.
Is what it sounds like. But no, I'm prejudging them. Anybody who would name their thing F-Coin sounds honest.
Yeah.
F-Coin was launched in 2018, and the same year the exchange was already under fire. It was accused of inflating its trading volume. That doesn't happen.
Never.
In one particular instance, the exchange posted a daily trading volume of over $5.4 billion, which is more than the top 10 largest exchanges combined. It was just a data error or a decision error.
Here's your sign.
Despite the problems, the exchange continued to be popular with its unique business model that touted turning cryptocurrency trading into mining. What was that other place that was the
pond down in Texas? That was
wasn't Bitfinex, wasn't it?
No, it was BitCurrent. BitConnect.
And we had somebody on our show that was
panicking.
Yes, but before that, he was telling us, people are
getting 8%. Yeah, crushing it.
They're totally legit. Yeah. Anyway.
Until they're not.
So. I guess we will wait and see. If one would wonder where the 700, or 7,000, excuse me, the 13,000 Bitcoin will land now that they're been liberated, set free.
What do you mean by set free? Are they in a wallet they can't recover? Or?
Well, I don't know, because you know they since they fake their volume, maybe they're imaginary.
Maybe they
Bitcoin.
Fake them. Yeah.
But I have a feeling that they're. That the people that are clients of them who aren't getting their Bitcoin back aren't really worried about whether there's 7,000 missing or 13,000 missing. They're probably only worried about the ones they own that are missing. So, but anyway, all's well will end well.
And somebody's going to be in jail for that.
Well, in China. I don't think they're going to waste a jail cell on them.
It's probably not the best place to be doing that stuff.
I mean, they execute regular executives in China when they make a mistake. after they have a fair trial.
You know, I was going to say, I have a buddy who worked over in China early on in the 90s and that, and he would tell me some stories about even with the accountants over there. They just take you out back and shoot you.
Well, they gave you a fair trial first, right?
Oh, yeah.
Examine the evidence.
Absolutely.
Weigh it
out back and shot you.
While they're looking for their ammunition.
That's right.
Back when I had higher aspirations of my radio career, I was with a bunch of radio executives. It wasn't their choice. It was they were stuck in a car with me.
Oh, okay.
They were telling old radio guy stories, though, and they were talking about one of the people they know that had gone over to Russia. Now, this would be around 2007. And
that wasn't too bad.
They were telling whatever story it was, and the man of significant power and influence in Russia that was telling this executive what to do, the executive told him what he could do. And... These radio executives in the car were really wondering how wise that would be, because they were all of the opinion that you don't ruffle anybody's feathers in Russia back in those days. Now that, of course, they're much more calm and civilized now.
Absolutely.
All right, Coinbase, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the U.S., is getting back into the business of lending money to traders, joining a growing number of venues providing leverage. The San Francisco-based exchange said that it was going to have new margin trading feature provides leverage up to 3x or 3x for those who are like really in the know, in 23 U.S. states, and I can attest that Florida is one of them.
Oh, nice.
And the leverage is also available to institutional traders in 44 states and 9 countries.
Hmm.
Let's see. Last time they were offering it was 2017. They have been signaling since 2019 that they were considering reviving the effort, and profits finally got low enough that they decided to. The resurgent push by Coinbase comes as competition heats up. Yes, of course it does. Well, we do. Actually, we have like Binance and Huobi's in this country now.
Yep.
They're doing fiat. And I think actually Binance, I don't need to have another crypto exchange account, but Binance has, I think, more favorable commissions.
Yeah.
I do think that now Kraken, which I have an account there also, and they have 5x margin, which still sounds conservative compared to 100-to-1 margin.
300, 500-to-1. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. But I believe the Kraken commissions are less, but I think this is just my perception. I have not researched this for audiences who are going to, send me a libel case from Coinbase for saying this, or Kraken. But I think Coinbase is a little bit more favorable on the margin interest than Kraken. But what I found, because I had to try it out, and
how does it work?
Well, it works pretty good. They my limit is higher than what it is on Kraken. But Kraken still allows me to do 5-to-1 up to a certain amount. So I have more on Coinbase than I have on Kraken.
So a 20% move would wipe.
Well, no.
Yeah. 5-to-1, 20% move, you're wiped.
Not the whole thing.
Well, whatever you're risking.
Of course.
Yeah.
If I risk $1,000 and a Bitcoin goes down $1,000, then I would lose $1,000.
If you were normal, but if you're doing 5-to-1 leverage with $1,000,
it works out the same.
No, if it moves $200, you get leveraged out.
No, that's not the way it works.
Isn't it $5,000 dealing with $5,000?
Let me do
okay,
an
explain
example.
To me. Explain
let's
to
say,
me this.
Let's say the limit's $5,000. Let me just be honest. I'm always honest. Let me be candid and tell you about my financial situation here. In that particular account, because of their know your customer stuff and the fact that they want certain size files of the documents I was sending them, it just got to be too much of a hassle, so I just stayed at the level I was. That's them.
Yeah.
They're upset. They're going to call my margin anytime.
Yeah, right.
I'm not margined out. I'm cracking at the moment.
At the moment.
But, so, 5,000 is the limit. And so if I want to say, and a half a Bitcoin would be a good example right now, because say I buy a half a Bitcoin with margin, then you can pick, from 2 to 5, say 5. So that means $1,000 of your money is tied up.
It's controlling.
Yeah, because it's controlling
$5,000.
Right.
Okay.
So when it goes down to you're at 80% of your.
That's 20% move.
Yeah. No, that's only $200 though.
No.
So when your principal.
Not 10,000.
When your principal gets down to 80%.
Okay.
Then you're going to get a call.
Yeah, but it's still 20% move in Bitcoin.
It's not that I've
so
done this enough.
So if you have $1,000 and you margin, you can buy half a Bitcoin.
Yes.
Okay. If the market goes down $1,000, you lose your $1,000.
Exactly.
Okay. Where's Bitcoin trading at?
Right now it's like
$10,000.
$600.
All right, so $10,000. So if it moves 10%, you're wiped out.
I lose $1,000. I'm not wiped out.
Well, you wiped out your margin. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is 20% of what you're holding.
I think we're really running around in the circle
there.
But
yeah, but it was 20% of what you're holding.
I think I finally bit my tail on the whole thing. So anyway, but with the point with Coinbase and Coinbase Pro, because that's really where you're doing the margin trades. See, with Coinbase, like say you want to upload from your checking account. And if you do it on the regular Coinbase, they let you trade right away because they're getting the spread, which is quite big on Coinbase, plus they're getting their 3%. So sure, they're going to say, you know, you've already been sending money from this checking account, so they're going to say, sure, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just lock it up so they can't, you can't withdraw it. With, for some reason, with Coinbase Pro, they put a hold on it.
Yeah.
So what I find this useful for, so say I just want to buy $1,000 of Bitcoin. Then, you know, I can make the trade, and my $1,000 will be there in 2 or 3 days, however long it takes the banking process to happen. So it makes it convenient that way on Coinbase.
Yeah.
But.
So what's going on with Craig Wright?
I've revealed so much.
Yeah, we have digressed so much. But what's going on with Craig Wright?
Craig Wright, well, he's suing people.
Again? Or is he being sued? I thought he was being sued.
Well, he is being sued.
Okay.
But this new thing is Craig Wright, of course, he claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto,
yeah.
And has warned Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. So this is interesting. Somewhere he found Bitcoin and told Bitcoin, you better watch out. And while he was at it, he found Bitcoin Cash, and he told Bitcoin Cash, you better watch out. You better not cry. Anyway, he told them to stop using the Bitcoin database. That's what this story says right here.
Oh, my God.
Has warned Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash to stop using the Bitcoin database. And all and the Bitcoin Cash turned to him and said, they're making me do it. The Bitcoin Cash says, what Bitcoin said. Anyway, he claims that both networks may also, stop using the database to avoid potential lawsuits. He claims that both networks may also violate the laws under the terms of Bitcoin's original EULA and MIT license. The man behind Bitcoin SV, in a personal blog post, added that he's going to take back control of the system he created and is ready to fight for his rights this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Can he just go? I mean, can he just go away? I mean, he brings more drama. It's like,
This is really obscure now, but
okay.
I was thinking, Shakespeare had something called, a play called Henry II, I think, and Thomas Becket was a thorn in Henry's II's side,
mm-hmm.
Even though they had been friends before Becket became a mucky muck in the church, and in his court, in the king's court, Henry II says, won't someone rid me of this problem priest? And he never said, will somebody go kill him on the altar of the church?
Yeah.
But somebody went and killed him on the altar of the church. So I thought when I was reading this story, won't someone rid Bitcoin of this problem?
Yes.
And... but I did not mean it in that way. I meant, I wish the court system would just get rid of this guy and his claims. Now he'll probably sue me.
So what's his whole argument?
He argues that the distributed Bitcoin database rights are governed by the Copyright Design and Patent Acts of 19... and the Copyright Data Regulation. He cites a couple laws, so it should be considered as personal property. He claims that he represents 21 million total Bitcoin, with each divisible by 100 million Bitcoin. It's only a verbal deal. The Bitcoin's creator should have the full rights to claim this unilateral contract with those no. So he claims here that he owns all 21 million Bitcoin. That's the way I'm reading that.
Yeah,
that's going to
good
happen.
Luck with that. Well, not only just from an actual doing it stance, because it's out there, but even from a legal stance, I've gone to the patent office, copyright office, I've done all the heavy attorneys and that. He stands a snowball's chance in hell of this,
well,
having any...
Let's say, hypothetically, that he actually created this stuff.
It doesn't matter.
And he created a software product that allows people to independently mine Bitcoin and receive Bitcoin.
Okay.
Isn't it working exactly then how it was designed?
It's also been out there.
It was. If he designed it, why didn't he have it all sent back to him?
That's right. And it's already been out there. It's already been, he's getting snowballs. Yeah.
All right. What's come back to something that actually is very encouraging about Bitcoin, other than, you know, crazy lawsuits and things like that. We'll go to a break and be back in just a moment. Wrap things up a little bit early, but not quite as early as we have the last few weeks. Listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM, in the house. Co-founder of GreenBridgeInvesting.com, co-host of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. Andrew, a.k.a. Andy. I said we're going to get to a couple stories here. We have been cutting Mondays a little bit short due to a class and having a bonus edition of Talking Markets, but in this place we'll just run a few minutes longer because...
You have class today?
No, they canceled it at the last minute.
Oh, okay. Well, it's veteran. It's President's Day.
Yeah, but there was class.
Really? Oh.
I think the professor may have decided that... Because he came down sick on short notice. Coronavirus, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Kai, C-U-Y. I think I'm, or I don't think it's Cooey. I think it's Kai, like Guy, with a C. Sheffield. He's the head of crypto at the credit card giant Visa. He says Bitcoin Satoshis, you know, the little, what is it, hundreds of millions?
Smallest, yeah.
Yeah. Can have something, a big use case. And, you know, you may be thinking, like, it's like 1/1000th of a cent, 1/100th of a cent. What am I going to do with a Satoshi? Well, Mr. Sheffield has an idea. He says this as a main use case that the leading asset can supersede fiat. So, to, as Kara Haas would say, breaking down that word salad, there's something that Satoshis can do that fiat can't. And he makes the point that... there's a positive argument with the Bitcoin micropayments through the Lightning Network. He points out there's nothing you can buy online for less than a penny. That's even if the transaction costs would allow it to be a penny. Using dollars, Sheffield makes an interesting case for users wishing to spend Bitcoin, even with its volatility and exponential growth. The use case is micropayments that can be made with dollars. If streaming money becomes the way content creators are paid in the next 5 to 10 years, may see Internet users who don't know or care about Bitcoin still using Satoshis to pay for online content. Things like streaming video, reading online, or listening to music would cost a small number of Satoshis, so less than a penny. Now, if you think of, like a $6.95 subscription service, and you've got... Oh, I know, like 40 hours in a week. You're not going to watch it for 40 hours to listen. But say you listen, 40 hours in a month, you're not even paying a penny a minute.
Mm-mm.
You're paying fractions of a penny.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to do a subscription service. You just turn on the whatever it is you're listening to, and it's starting to debit Satoshis out of your...
Well, that's a good point, because like sometimes I see a news article I want to read, and I go on there, and I go, you got to be a subscriber.
Right.
And I hate that. So I'm like, I don't want to pay.
You could save newspapers and magazines.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. If, half a cent or whatever to read the article or something.
Yeah, 1/100th of a cent.
1/100th of a cent. Whatever it is, I'd pay to do that.
Well, I don't know why there isn't a cable TV-like entrepreneur company for print. Like, why doesn't, you know, if our local paper here, we're on the south side of Tampa Bay, and the paper, the Brandon Herald, which is on the south side of Tampa Bay, is part of the McClatchy Group, which just filed for bankruptcy. They are the and they own the Miami Herald. They're the ones that did the expose on Jeffrey Epstein, you know. So there is a reason we should have
newspapers. Jeffrey died in their bankrupt, huh?
Yeah.
Put the connections.
They actually did the expose in 2012 when he got the sweetheart deal, but nobody wanted to pay attention back then. Now, you know, they paid attention. But the point is, so, you know, it costs $12.95 to get that local digital version of the newspaper. And I pay it because I really want it. But that's really sort of a high price when you compare it to Netflix or Disney
sure.
Plus or something like that. And they have my, and if I, other than a something occasionally from the Miami Herald that I might get through the local version of McClatchy, I would have to buy the Miami Herald, and I have to buy this other paper and this other paper. So why isn't there somebody that's just saying to all these newspapers, we'll give you 100 satoshis every time 100 people look at one of your things?
Even your one, you know, get them a penny of it, look.
Yeah. And the same thing with, I hear about Time Magazine. I never see a Time Magazine anymore.
No.
I hear about Newsweek. I don't see a Newsweek magazine anymore.
People.
Popular Mechanics.
Yeah.
Only thing you see is the tabloids as you check out. And
yeah.
there is a magazine rack in the grocery store, but I never will go over there to look at it.
No.
Anyway,
that was
quite the digression. Sheffield believes that since the pay amounts will be as little as 1/100th of a cent, users won't have any fear of missing out for spending their crypto. Plus, the micro wallets would be denominated in dollars using Bitcoin behind the scenes. So the average person is just going to go, oh, I spent $5 this month on micropayments. But really, it's Bitcoin is going back and forth.
Yeah.
Anyway, apps could outcompete the U.S. dollar because the American government would need to create a whole new subset unit for this purpose. So, I mean, this isn't just like
mm-mm.
Yahoo's on the radio saying, oh, this would be a good idea.
No.
This is the guy from Visa.
Yeah.
And so I think that's very encouraging. And hopefully, if we could get the de minimis for payments, you know, the original law that was in Congress was anything up to $600, you didn't have to recognize your capital gains. This, if it goes through something like this, that seems like it should be with just sail through Congress.
Yeah.
All right. So the last thing I want to talk about before we say goodbye, if you haven't heard last week's show, we were talking about health insurance payments, I should say, in China that were being handled on the blockchain. And it wasn't just the Alibaba company that was handling it through one of their insurance subsidiaries. There was a Blue Cross in China that was doing payments for blockchain. Well, now it seems like China's even farther advanced on us with blockchain. Chinese authorities are supporting business struggling to survive coronavirus with blockchain technology and financing. Since the Lunar New Year holiday, which was around the beginning of February, China-based business have received more than $200 million in loans through a cross-border pilot blockchain finance platform. And that's according to Wan Shengneng, the vice director of the State Administration of Foreign Exchange. And you know he's got some stroke over there. Anyway, he says, let's see, is this him too? Henry Ma, chief information officer at Tencent-backed online lender WeBank, said, according to CNBC, due to the impact of the virus, the negative effects of previous pain points such as lack of trust in business, verification and efficiency, lack of information sharing, and difficulty of timely supervision have been further amplified. So I guess that means because of coronavirus, everything that was hard before is harder. So they are using blockchain to do this. You don't need people. It's all automated. It's all trustless. And as of noon on Friday, that was Friday last week, banks and financial institutions have supplied more than 537 billion won, which translates to 76.9 billion in credit to fight the virus, with hundreds of millions of that being done on a blockchain. China's foreign exchange regulator launched the cross-border finance blockchain service platform pilot in March of 2019. So it's actually been in existence, ready to go. And like a lot of things, when there's a crisis, that's a big opportunity. Crisis capitalism, if you want. You know, now you got the demand, make the best of it. And as of February 3rd, it had processed 15.9 million loans
billion.
15.9 billion dollars in loans to nearly 2,500 businesses, three-fourths of which were medium and mid-sized enterprise, because then they don't have to, you know, that would be a lot of labor, man and women hours to do that. Yeah, he noted more than 170 corporate banks have joined, along with 22 provinces, autonomous regions, and municipalities.
Here's the question, though. If they're just printing it like regular fiat, well, I guess the only thing you're doing is tracking it, then.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're giving them Bitcoin.
No, no.
But, oh, well, actually, you know, you're just making an entry on a ledger somewhere. But they're monitoring.
Saying it's backed by yuan.
Yes. And
we know that's a healthy currency.
Yeah, as soon as, I'm not going to say that would be an ethnic joke that would be inappropriate. So let's just avoid that. Anyway, but we had it where they actually have a functioning blockchain insurance use, multiple companies, and now they have a functioning financial use case for blockchain that has, you know, how many banks did I say? 170 corporate banks.
Yeah.
Do we even have 170 corporate banks anymore?
I don't think so.
Ah. All right. Well, so what is on your agenda for the coming week? Well, let me say something, because I was going to give a couple stocks out.
Okay,
don't take this advice to go out and buy it. I just say these are interesting. Do some research on it. And I was showing Andy Mercado Libre, M-E-L-I, which is sort of like the Latin American Amazon, only they have a payments platform. But the one I'm really going to talk about that's appropriate for this show is called Silvergate Capital. And I had a story down here way at the bottom. I'm not going to go through it, but it's about the...
there's another one that's called BlockFi that does the same thing.
That's what I had. But BlockFi is not publicly traded yet.
No.
But Silvergate they give loans based on collateral that's in crypto. Well, Silvergate Capital, which is simple as SI, has IPO a few months ago, and so now it's publicly traded.
And it looks like it's ready to break out.
Well, thank you for saying that, because I bought some.
Yeah.
But now don't buy it because I bought any. It's very thinly traded, so it could be manipulated real easily.
Yeah. Not that that ever happens.
I, you know, not that we would ever do that, but I really think Andy and I could probably pull a few hundred shares together, and that would be all it would take at the right moment of the day. Sometimes it only trades 20, 40,000 shares
in a day.
Actually, 40,000. I saw that on Friday, and I was like, oh, it's under accumulation.
So definitely put limit. Definitely put limit.
Yeah, just nibble and, you know, build a position. But if you want a publicly traded company that allows you to participate in the growth of the cryptocurrency industry, check it out. Do your own research. It's interesting reading, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll take that. And
Peter Thiel's big into the BlockFi.
Who is?
Peter Thiel.
Oh, that's right. That's why.
He's a big investor, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
I want to get out of here so we won't take that. But I appreciate Andy staying here, and we will be back next week at 4:05 with Talking Markets, and then we'll be 5:05 with Henry Rain Show, and then is there going to be a bonus round next week of the Talking Markets?
Well, very likely.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy. We'll see you next week.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.